If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. Today, we're diving into an inspiring story that's sure to resonate with anyone dreaming of a career change. Our guest, Michelle Carbonneau, has been a part of the health and healing wellness community since moving to Honolulu in 2000. With a passion for teaching, she transitioned from teaching math and science to anatomy, physiology, and massage therapy for licensing and yoga teacher trainings. Being more interested in the human body and how health sciences can help to heal naturally, she began her journey into deeper yogic studies and Ayurveda. Upon completing her yoga teaching certification, she decided to delve deeper into yoga sister science, Ayurveda. She recently completed an extensive Ayurvedic certification course and is now launching her Ayurvedic consulting business to support her clients' needs for health, balance, and harmony through the ancient traditions of Ayurveda and yoga. Join us today as we uncover the moments that fueled Michelle's journey into the wellness world and get ready for an enlightening chat that might just spark your own career transformation. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. And I'm so excited that we're here together in my office. This is the very first time I'm actually having a guest with me here live. So really, really excited. To start off with, let's start with the Sparky Type Assessment, because that's what I always do on this podcast. Because if for anyone, any of the listeners who have not taken the Sparky Type Assessment yet, it is, you can find it on sparkytype.com. It is a free 10-minute assessment, and it really helps you find what energizes you. And you shared your Sparky Type results with me.
Yes.
And let's start with the primary Sparky Type, the Sage, that came up for you. Sages are all about awakening insights. So your sage impulse is to illuminate, teach, and elevate. You live to share insights, ideas, knowledge, and experiences with others in a way that leaves them in some way better, wiser, and more equipped to experience life differently. I wonder if that resonates with you.
Yes, definitely. While I was taking the Spark assessment, I was answering the questions, I started to almost like overthink a little bit because I was getting ahead, just wondering,
oh yeah,
what the results were going to be. So I ended up just right away deciding to just go with my first instinct for each answer.
Perfect.
So when I got the results and it actually said teaching, I felt like, okay, well, it was a good thing I went with my first instincts for the answers.
Yeah. So it does resonate.
Yes.
Yeah. And do you have that moment? I hear. And actually, interesting enough, I had on my last week episode, I had a guest, Anna, who is also a sage and maven. And I love to see how the same impulse can show up so differently for different people. So you've obviously always been drawn to teaching others and sharing knowledge.
Yeah, so my primary career has been as a teacher. So I've taught many different subjects and in different types of venues, as well as age ranges from kindergarten all the way through adult ed.
That's amazing. And the sage, they're often, they get that really that moment of feeling alive and so fulfilled in the moment that someone else gets it, like that aha moment, that light bulb turning on. Is that something that resonates with you?
Yes. I mean, there's so many different aspects. I think that one of the, you know, the greatest things is having a student come back and just say that, you know, you really made an impact or changed their life, or they, you know, were directed into a certain area and that you were a part of their journey.
Oh, I can just imagine. That must be so fulfilling and rewarding.
Definitely.
And your shadow Sparky type is the Maven. Mavens are all about learning. It's having that lifelong desire to learn, to know, to keep going, to become wiser, and being fueled by a new primal drive to know more. Does that also resonate with you?
Yes. Something that I've always done is just continuing education. So a lot of different certifications and licenses. I think that that's really what keeps me going. I always feel grounded, even though when I start a new course or certification program, it's kind of like, oh my God, here we go. Because it is, you know, a large commitment and a, you know, time commitment. But I always feel like that is something that I've always had in my life. So it's kind of like reconnecting with an old friend, even though it's different content. So I feel like it's been really helpful for me to just stay on track and stay grounded in my personal life.
And do you feel you can get lost in that process of learning?
Yeah, I guess time-wise, you know, as far as like in the moment with the time can go by really quickly. I think there is that little bit of discipline to actually sit down and then just like crack the books.
Yeah.
But yes, and I can just get onto, you know, one topic and then just really go down the rabbit hole on it. And keep researching and researching and researching. I remember one time my mom said it in other ways as well. I'm the type of person that just likes to peel the onion.
Yes, I can see that. Yeah. And that's actually one of the most common phrases I hear when I talk to people who are mavens, is going down that rabbit hole and learning more. And I love that you're saying that, peeling that onion. That's a beautiful visual. Yeah. And for the Sparketype assessment, a lot of times people do the work of their shadow in order to do the work of their primary even better. So in your case, that would suggest that you love to learn, but you often do it in order to be able to share that knowledge with others.
Yes.
Does that resonate?
Yes. And definitely the, you know, continuing education and certifications then led me into a different type of teaching. Yeah. So it was not just personal or for a lot of times too, people right away when I say, oh, I'm going to, you know, start studying this, then they'll just be like, well, what are you going to do with that? And I kind of feel like then I can become a little bit overwhelmed or just get ahead of myself and thinking like, how is this going to translate to, you know, career or, you know, the hours or the business, the money type of thing. So I just always go back to, this is something that I want to learn. And I know that by becoming, you know, even more passionate through the knowledge, I'll be able to share that with others. And I don't really need to worry about that next step. So I have to remind myself of that.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. That like keeping that balance of wanting to learn and then also use that knowledge in a way, but also staying in the moment of, okay, things will come.
Things will come.
Things will come.
Letting it unfold naturally.
Yes, exactly. I also want to, before we dive more into your actual subjects, I want to touch on the anti-Sparketype for a second, and we share the same anti-Sparketype.
Oh, okay.
And there's what's really interesting with the Sparketype assessment is it doesn't talk about what we're good and what we're bad at. It points to things that light us up and energize us, and it can help us pinpoint things that drain us and are the heavier lift. Not saying we're bad at it. So our anti-Sparketype is the advocate, which is taking on the role of championing, advocating for others. And I had to really, for myself, really tune into it, is that it didn't resonate as much as with my primary and shadow immediately. But what I noticed for myself is that I just don't gravitate towards it. So my primary is the scientist. I love to solve problems. So when it does not mean we don't care. I care very deeply. So I often use the example when I was working as a recruiter, I wanted to see more diversity, more women into leadership. It was something that I really cared about. But my natural go-to was not the champion and advocate in giving voice. I immediately go be like, okay, there's a problem. How do we solve that problem? So I care, but I go about it a different way because it doesn't come naturally to me. I wonder if that resonates with you at all.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I really contemplated this piece the most out of the Spark assessment because I felt like the other two, right away, I was like, oh, yes, I could even see how it's more study with the Maven really supported the Sage, right?
Yeah.
So with the Advocate, I guess I've really thought about how something that just leaves me more depleted or is like more energetically draining is this piece about advocating also has an aspect of like confrontation sometimes, or like an activist type
of
energy.
You're right.
Yeah. And that I feel like while I think one of my platforms has always been opportunity through education. So it's really advocating for education.
Yeah.
But advocating for people individually, I feel like has just not been something that I'm drawn to. One of my dear friends, Catherine, when I was discussing this with her, she's very well versed in scripture. And she said that the Holy Spirit in scripture is referred to as the Advocate.
Oh, wow.
And so I started looking up some pieces of that. And what she explained was that there's an aspect with the Holy Spirit where there's trust and you just let things be. You kind of let things go and let things be. And
yeah.
I thought, wow, that's completely different from my initial thought of, you know, needing a high level of communication or, you know, like a kind of conflict resolution or, you know, type of just intense energy with advocating, almost like that activism. So
it
kind of softened this whole piece to it for me. And so, I've definitely have been contemplating about this advocate piece.
It's interesting. It's super interesting. It was the same for me. I had to really think about it. And back in school, I studied sustainability. I was all about I still am advocating for the environment and climate change. And those are really important topics. But for me, it was always, I didn't look at the lens of, okay, I'm speaking on behalf of the climate that needs to be addressed. I'm more looking at it like, okay, how do we fix this problem? Like, what solutions can we find? And so I can care about the same cause, but I just go about it differently. And I just recently talked to someone who was also a Sage as a primary and an advocate as anti, and she was saying, she's in the corporate world, and she is saying she wants to teach people all the tools they have so they can speak up for themselves. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to be the one speaking up for them. So she uses all her Sage. I'm like, I'm giving you all the tools, the knowledge, the resources so that you can be your own voice. And I thought that was a really beautiful way to approach it as well.
Yeah, I really like that. I actually, as you were just saying that, even looking at this anti-spark type as advocating for myself more. So right away I went, because of teaching and just the nature of work that I've done for so long, it's outwardly focused on other people. So the studying aspect and the certifications, that, you know, is something I'm doing like for myself, but I'm also then sharing it, right?
Right.
But this advocating piece, possibly even looking at it as an area that I could work on more for myself, like advocating myself.
Oh yeah, I actually, now that you say that, I never thought that about myself, but advocating for myself actually does not come easy to me.
Right. Yes, same for
absolutely. me. Absolutely. I've never thought about it that way. That's such a good insight. It's a heavier lift. And that's exactly what the anti is. It's not that we can't do it. It's that it doesn't come as naturally to us, and it is a heavier lift. So that's a huge insight of like advocating for ourselves.
Yeah. So interesting. We both have that same anti-spark. So I only got that. You sparked the idea from, you know, sharing what, you know, your thoughts about it as well. I like that. I like the thought too of just lightening up anything that, you know, can be looked at as draining, or because that was one of the things that when I read about, you know, what the anti-spark kind of meant was that, you know, it's like it doesn't come easy, but also that it can be take more energy,
right?
Or it's like depleting. So those words are a little bit like, oh, I don't want that. So trying to, you know, change it into a way where it is uplifting and supportive of the primary and the shadow spark.
And that's with the anti-advocate, that's a lot of conversations I have with clients, is that it doesn't say we should never do it. So if I, let's say if I would have gone after studying sustainability into a, let's say a climate fund or a climate think tank, for example, it wouldn't have been that I would have never, that wouldn't have told me like, don't ever go and advocate, like not for you. But it would have told me that if I would have done this for, if my job would have been advocating for 8 hours every day, 5 days a week, I would be drained. I would honestly be very drained.
Yes.
But if I have to do this 5 hours out of the week, oh, I can totally do it. But I then would rather go back to solving some problems.
Right. Yeah. I have a couple of girlfriends that really have this type of advocating energy. And I find that at times, because then it can just get like really passionate.
Yeah.
That it feels a little bit intense for me. So there's a little bit of kind of like, okay, it's like a personality type. So it'd be interesting to, have you met or been interviewing other people that had the advocate as their primary type?
So I had a client recently, she was advocate as primary, and it's so beautiful how it shows up differently. And she was in sales.
Okay.
And she loved advocating for her customers. So she was the one who was, she listened to her customers, and then whatever they wanted, she would take that to the company and she would fight for them, be like, okay, we need to create the specific offer for them. We need to change the product because this is what they need. And she got to really live that out in a sales role.
Yeah, I could see that it would be really supportive for sales.
Yeah.
And sales, actually, I did try doing sales at one point because I was so, the product was amazing. It was actually a medical grade amino acid.
Wow.
So it went with the wellness or the type of work that I do. But as far as the actual sales, I just couldn't get a grasp on it. It just didn't work with, but now it kind of makes sense because I can see that the advocate would be actually a very good quality to have for sales.
And there's so much. Oh, totally. And I started my career in sales and I was good at it, but it was absolutely not for me. So yes. Yeah. The sage could also, I mean, there's right. Like when we talk about sales as a scientist solving problems, I could approach sales from that lens of like, okay, what's the problem the client has? How can I solve it? Or as a sage, we could approach sales from like, how can I educate the client? But then there's always still something to that sales aspect that either it resonates with people or it doesn't, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It is like a high level of deadline type of,
yeah.
It's a whole different thing.
And I wonder about something else. So the sparkotype, so there's 10 different sparkotypes and they are on a spectrum from very process-driven to very service-driven. So on the more heavy process-driven sparkotypes, which is 100% me, a scientist, essentialist, very process-driven, that means for me, I get very energized. I can sit in this office by myself for 48 hours, figure out problems, and be as happy as can be. That would be extremely draining often for people with very service-driven sparkotypes. The service-driven sparkotypes, they often derive their satisfaction, energy from being of service to others. And that it's very energizing. And that's more draining for me. I can do it and I do it well, but I have to be very mindful of how much service-driven work I have in my business and my workday so it does not tank my energy. I do need to set time aside for really process-driven work and be in my zone. I wonder if that resonates, though the Maven is very process-driven on the scale and the Sage is right there in the middle. And the advocate is actually very on the service-driven side. And that was the first thing that resonated with me about the advocate. I'm like, it's that servant-driven aspect that is draining for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the same for you or similar.
Yeah, I think that for me personally, I like the balance of both. So like you, my background is in science. So I went to school for engineering, chemistry. I taught math in high school, science as well. So I had this very kind of analytical training. And then I ended up going to massage school right after college. I moved out from the East Coast to San Francisco. And that really just opened up a whole other area, I guess. Yeah. But something I really resonated with was, or got into it, was from the sciences. So all the sciences that I learned were not really applicable to me personally. So once I started studying the anatomy and physiology, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Cause it still gave me that science and kind of like what you said, in the same type of way, like the problem, yeah, and like, let's fix yeah. it. So sometimes even when, you know, people are kind of going on and on and on, I'm just like, kind of a little like, okay, let's fix it. Like, yeah. let's get to the core of this and, you know, move on type of thing and get to the next thing. But I think that's really kind of what led me into all of this type of work that I do now originally was that bridge with the science going into the anatomy and physiology. And that was the first thing that I ended up teaching was anatomy and physiology. I'd done some tutoring and some, so I kind of just been able to teach a lot of different things.
You have an incredible story. So I did not know that you went to school for engineering and chemistry. So was that you got your bachelor's in engineering and chemistry?
Yes.
And then you went to massage school after.
Yes.
So I would wanna like, that is amazing. A lot of people I talk to, they go to school for engineering and chemistry. You invest a lot of time and also money yes. in it. They feel like, okay, this is what I have to do now. If I like it or not, I studied it, I have to stick with it. What gave you the freedom to say of like, I studied it and I learned a lot, but there's something else I can do?
I think it just really unfolded naturally. I was in San Francisco. I was working at a biotech company, Genentech, and I was temping for them and trying to get on as a permanent job. It just really wasn't falling into place. They were kind of going through some shifts with the temp agency they had on site. It was kind of getting like lost in the cracks. So at that time, I was also working at a girls group home and doing tutoring and education and actually kind of advocating for them on some different levels. And I saw an ad for massage school and I just ended up going and interviewing and was just really drawn to, like I said, the anatomy and the physiology. And I really didn't plan on that. So it just really opened up a whole different path, life path.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think
yes,
that yes. is incredibly inspiring for so many people who feel like because there's all these shoulds. And I think as women, we might deal with that even more of like, okay, I should be doing this. I mm-hmm. studied engineering. I should be doing it. But you listen to that gut of like, I'm really drawn to the massage therapy. And there's something in my gut telling me I should go after it. And you did.
Right. And then I actually, at that time too, right when I was signing up, I actually did get offered a full-time job at the biotech company. So I really had to make that decision. I was really at a crossroads.
How did you, what?
I just followed my heart. But you know, I did bounce back and forth because I ended up teaching high school math and science. So it wasn't like I went into massage and then that's just what I did.
Yeah.
I moved here to open a spa, got into the spa industry, some things with that worked and didn't work. And then I ended up teaching private school here. So I kind of went back and forth. I think I made the big transition in 2005. I started teaching massage school full time and then moved on to a director of education, had my own massage school, got into yoga teacher trainings, taught for that, but taught the anatomy and physiology. So again, it was teaching the anatomy and physiology for both massage therapy for licensing and for yoga teacher trainings that led me into both of those, paths with that. So now I'm into the Ayurveda. I started studying that in 2008 with my main teacher, Mary from Open Space Yoga. And I was introduced to it and she taught the first 200-hour yoga teacher training here on the island, which I was a part of, went on to teach the 300-hour, teach for her at the studio and studied with my teacher on Big Island. But Mary was really the one that introduced us to Ayurveda. Now it's becoming a little bit more mainstream. I decided to go ahead and do the Ayurvedic certification. So I finished that and now I'm just getting registered with the Vedic Institute. So I am really excited that, and that is known as the sister science to yoga. So again, it's going back into more of the sciences as well.
Yeah, I love your story. It's so fascinating. So first of all, congratulations on finishing. And for those listeners who might have not heard about Ayurveda, can you share with us what that is?
So it is the sister science to yoga. And basically, you assess your individual constitution. So it's what like Chinese medicine came out of. So I had studied Chinese medicine.
Okay, you're a maven. Anything else you studied?
But I'm not an acupuncturist. I studied my mentor is a PhD in Chinese TCM and acupuncture. So I studied that. I really loved it. For some reason, when I first started studying the Ayurveda, it seemed on the surface more simple. So there's three constitutional types. They call it your dosha. Everybody has all three. It's just in different amounts and different ratios. So once you learn your individual dosha, then you can see the patterns of what keeps you in balance and harmony and what throws you out of balance. So we're attracted towards what keeps us out of balance. So it's almost, I'm not going to say like counterintuitive, but there's this aspect of it where you're like, oh, I always like to do this, but that actually may be something that is throwing you off balance. And it's like a puzzle. So it's interesting. So again, it has that science aspect, or like the kind of like fix it. One of the things that's really amazing about Ayurveda is that when you are making changes, personal changes, and using all different types of things. So it's, you know, dietary, herbs, it's, you know, sleep patterns, it's exercise, it's certain types of yoga, meditation. So it's really a holistic approach. And that's why it goes with all of the yogic practices as well, because you can utilize all of those. And so what's going to work for you is not necessarily going to work for me. Even if we have the same dosha or constitutional type, just like with the spark assessment, it can show up very differently because our ratios and just the amount that we have. So that they go along with the elements as well. So Vata is air, ether, Pitta is fire, water, and then the Kapha is earth and water. So we all have all of those. It just, part of it is, you know, it is just our genetics. It's the way that our body type is. So even things like the hair, like how fine, you know, the hair is, or how thick it is, or shiny and oily the skin is, the shapes of the eyes. So there's all these physical assessments that you can do, the pulse, looking at the tongue, even the nails. There's a lot of information in the nails, looking at the health of the nail. So it's very interesting. And then it's the way the mind works. So one of the things originally, because we look at the mind and emotions are so connected, but in Ayurveda, they look at the mind as more of an object. So it's very interesting. And like I said, it seemed for me, I grasped it very easily. Felt like it was kind of simple, more simple to understand initially than Chinese medicine theory. However, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper.
Oh, I can hear that.
Yeah. So just finishing all of these exams, it's like going back in and just relearning so many things, going back to it and studying and taking different trainings. You just keep learning. It's like the onion. It's just peeling it. Yeah. So I feel like I just can't get enough of it. And I just keep learning new things all the time. Every time I sit down to study and work with people. So that's just really something that's fun. People can find me on my Instagram. Can send them a questionnaire for the dosha. And I, you know, would be willing to to send that off to anybody that's interested, that's listening today.
So exciting. So you can, with that questionnaire, you can assess your own dosha?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And I can help you look at what exactly that means. So really deciphering, you know, what exactly that means for you and how to then tailor all of these pieces in life and lifestyle to create more balance and harmony in your life.
Wow. So I need that questionnaire. I want to know what my dish is.
We'll have to do a follow-up. That'd be great.
Yes.
I'd love to come back on and do a follow-up.
So yes, I'll take the questionnaire. You come back and then you walk me through what all that means and what I can
change.
That'd
be amazing. It'd be like the opposite of the doing the spark assessment.
Exactly. Oh, we're going to so do that.
Perfect.
Give me an example of, you said we often are drawn to things that are actually not, I don't know the right word to use, but in alignment, or that, what's an example of that, of someone being drawn to something that then isn't actually like, oh, this isn't actually for them?
So let's see. So a lot of times people that have a lot of fire or heat in their constitution, they may be drawn to really spicy foods.
Okay.
Or, you know, doing a, like going for a run at noontime, right? When it's really hot and then they're doing something really active, that can actually be throwing them off balance, kind of keeping them running in a more of a fiery or heated state. So when the fire is too hot and it's burning, it's like a wildfire, right? So you can kind of think of the difference between a wildfire burning and just kind of like burning everything down versus like a campfire that's surrounded by rocks. And it's just like a nice fire that's burning.
Mm-hmm.
So that type of fire as well is going to, something that's really important in Ayurveda is digestive fire. So your Agni, your digestive fire. So you want to keep that digestive fire burning nice and steady and at a good temperature, not too cool, not too hot.
Wow, that's really interesting. And how can that impact you? Let's say you're a really fiery person and you go for a run at noon. It's super hot. We're in Hawaii. It's really hot. And then you eat a really spicy dinner. How can that impact you when it's not that nicely burning fire, but this wildfire in you?
Right. So it can show up in different ways in the body. So you might see that the person, you know, their face is really red. They could have some skin conditions. So things like eczema or psoriasis, like red kind of itchy skin things, right? So you can see some certain aspects physically, their digestion could just not be running well, right? So they're not processing the nutrients. Also, as far as emotions and stuff, quick to temper, sharp, agitated, frustrated. So I'm sure you've met people.
I think we all have, yes.
So on the good side, people that have a lot of fire in their constitution, the subtle quality is called tejas. So it's the illumination of fire that's glowing, it's warm, it's engaging, it's focused, it's inviting. So there's very good qualities that you want to bring out by just making sure that you're supporting your constitution. So each constitution type or each dosha, they have their challenges and then they have their attributes.
So we just want to balance it out. I'm so curious about
this. It is very interesting.
Yeah. Yes. And I actually love how, so I mean, I'm all about the spark type assessment in my work, and you're all about the Ayurvedic and the dosha. And even though it's so different, there is some area of like, because for me, it's like, okay, if you do what lights you up, it really fills you. It really fills your soul. And it seems like the same, there's an alignment with who you are as a person, then you just become healthier physically, emotionally, mentally.
Yeah. And I think for me, one of the reasons that I really was drawn to Ayurveda originally in the trainings was it helped me to not take things so personally, because I just realized this is just that pattern, or in somebody else seeing it, it's just that pattern.
Wow.
So, and it's not just with people, it's also locations. animals, plants. You can look at how nature has the qualities of these doshas as well. So you can really see it in your environment. It's also really helpful in relationships for two people working together. I was talking to one of the women at Savant, the workspace that we work at, and she was talking about how this would be really great to know the dosha of her children, because a lot of times, you know, maybe parents don't understand, wow, my child is so different from me, that they just have a different dosha, a different constitutional makeup.
Wow.
And so what's working for you, you know, isn't really going to work for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are so many applications for that body of knowledge. Yes. I can see, like, I'm thinking about my own kids and I'm like, yes, I want to know this. And a lot of my listeners are also in the corporate world. And I can even see, like, if a company, if everyone in the company would know that information, how workplaces could be created so much more inclusive and work so much better for people who have different genetic makeups.
Yes. After I left this one job that I'd had that I actually really loved, and it was just challenging. It was bought out by a different person. And when I look back, because I hadn't been introduced to Ayurveda at that point, looking back, or when I started studying the Ayurveda, oh, okay, now I can see that their patterns and what they were doing was really just that their dosha was just like very unbalanced. And it was just affecting a lot of people. It was a mass exodus, like everybody left. But people that are working there now, it seems like, you know, there's been some people that have stayed for a long time. So it, you know, it works okay. So I think for some people, you know, they can even handle being around other people that are not balanced in their dosha because their constitution is more calm and they're also in balance. So
that's so interesting.
It is very interesting. So it definitely can be applied to many different, you know, processes and applications.
Yeah.
I think first, you know, it's finding out where you're at yourself and being able to use all of these different tools. And, you know, so many people are into yoga now, and there's so many different styles. So a lot of times I hear people say, like, they went to one yoga class, they didn't have a good experience, and they're like, it wasn't for me. Not realizing there's so many different styles, and maybe they went to a hot yoga class and felt really depleted. Or for some people, going to like a really relaxed class can be agitating because they want to like move. However, that may actually be what they really need, is more of a yin or restorative type of class. But going from an extreme, so if you're the person that's running at noontime and just go, 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 and used to doing more fitness style of yoga, going to a restorative where you're just like bolstered up and laying down, that could be very challenging and very agitating. And like, I don't want to do this. So again, Ayurveda is all about making slow changes. So maybe it would be going to a slow flow class or like a slower vinyasa class, like just starting to dial down. And then there's people that, you know, are going to the restorative and they need to dial it up. So
I wonder where I'm going to be, because I love yin yoga, like restorative and like actually yin yoga. I love yin yoga. It's the best. And I do not like vinyasa and flows. Like I'll avoid it at all costs, but I wonder where I should be.
Right. Yeah.
I do feel great after yin though. That might be a,
I love yin too.
Yeah. That might be a,
and it's filling your cup, and probably it actually is, you know, very balancing for you with working with so many people and communicating and talking and reading and researching. So that dialed down, but it probably wouldn't hurt to add in one slow flow class a week. I feel we can work on that.
No.
We can look at it.
I go to the rock climbing, Tim. That is my high energy. So there I'm super curious if this is actually good for me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This was so amazing. Like, I love this conversation, Michelle. Where can people find you if they want to get in touch with you, learn more about yoga and Ayurveda, and also get the questionnaire?
So I think you're going to post my Instagram. Yeah, so I'm just starting. I kind of scrapped all of my old platforms, so they are new. So I'm just starting to post. So Hawaii_crystal dreams is my Instagram. And then my LinkedIn is Michelle-Carboneau-Hawaii. So I think my last name will be posted.
Yes, on I will post all of that in the show notes for sure.
Post that and then or type that in with the -Hawaii, then you should be able to find me as well.
Perfect. Yeah. Before we end this conversation, I would love to hear, what is your advice for specifically women who might have gone to school to study engineering and chemistry or something that they feel like they're supposed to do, but then their passion brings them into a different path? And I feel like you did that so beautiful in your life, where you followed your gut and your passion and your interest and your what you're called to do. And I see so many people being torn between those two paths in life. What is your word of advice or inspiration?
I would say come see you and do the spark assessment. And I would say don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. Just be... I guess now I would say be still. At that time, I wasn't. I was in my early 20s. So yeah, just really be still and just listen to your own heart. And, you know, you're not going to go wrong. That was one of the best advice that I have from my teacher, Mary, years ago already. But she said, nobody ever said, I wish I didn't listen to my intuition.
Wow.
And I always remember that when I'm something's presenting and I feel I don't know which direction or path to take. So
say that again.
No one ever said, I wish I didn't listen to my intuition.
That is so beautiful. And you said something before. I can't repeat the exact words. I'm going to put that in the show notes, but I was like, you said that so perfectly. Being still, and your intuition is never wrong. That's what you said. Is that the words you used?
Yeah, don't overthink it. Being still.
And
something also, you know, with the being still, many people find many different ways through just quieting the mind. You know, I know meditation is kind of a buzzword now, but, you know, just prayer and really, you know,
yeah,
pulling in that guidance of which way to go, because there's so many times in life where things present themselves and, you know, we all go through that. We're like, which turn to take? And many times, you know, a decision will really lead you down a different path.
Yeah.
So
it's such important advice, because we live in a world where there are so many shoulds and so many demands and so much going on around us.
Yes.
And we're not taught to quiet down and listen to our gut. And we actually have a lot of wisdom inside of us.
And they do call it the second brain.
Yes. And I do that quite often with my clients when they have like, oh, okay, do you think I should do this or should I do this? And and then they're like, okay, this pays this much, but this, I need to like take this course. And I'm like, okay, let's remove all those external factors. What's your gut telling you? And they instantly know.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know your answer. You know your answer. So there's something really beautiful about listening to what's inside of us.
Yes. I think the brain, just the analytical piece, especially if you're so used to, you know, fixing things or doing things that are, you know, rational,
yes,
you know, or patterns, just patterns of thought. So yeah, intuition.
This has been absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for being here, Michelle. We're going to be continuing this conversation because I'm just fascinated and want to learn more about that. And I hope that Michelle's journey has really inspired you to think about your own career path and what makes you come alive. And if you're curious about how to find out of how to align your career with what you're passionate about, what your intuition is telling you, and what you're meant to do, you can book a free consultation call with me on careerbloomcoaching.com/consultation. I'm here to help you gain career clarity in record time. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.